Here we go. Almost there.
Yeah, exactly.
Any change?
No. Whoever the hell I sent. Luke, Kevin, Damian, Nick, and Robert.
Sort of talked about this before, but any particular rhyme or reason for those guys?
None at all. Just guys, in some cases it was the guy that was healthier. If it was a choice between some guys, in other cases it was just kind of wanted to balance the teams and look at certain combinations. So kind of each one was different. A couple of them were flipping a coin. It could have been, could have been Earl, could have been Luke. KD had been more healthier than Delonte, but Delonte's still going to play. Delonte plays. His foot doesn't bother him at all the first half. He'll start the second half. So Damian has been Damian probably because he's more experienced than Jeff. I don't know if I wanted to start the two young guys together. So, I mean, it was just no real reasons, just a variety of convince ourselves reasons.
And in terms of rotations, are you going to stick to like a preseason format and just keep those guys on a short leash? Or
I'll be surprised if anything other than fatigue doesn't decide it. Even fouls, I don't think I'm going to be overly concerned with fouls, but I just think Earl will commit for Luke as soon as Luke's looking tired. If he doesn't look tired, then maybe he'll go toward. I'll be shocked if they can go a full quarter, but maybe the 6 minute mark if he's not tired before that. Pretty much the same for everybody. That second group tonight would be Earl, Delonte, Jeff, Wheezy, and Johan. Again, as long as they're all, if one or two of them were dinged up, but I don't think Mike's going to tell me anything that any of them can't go. And we might, JJ may play, Mo may play. And the other three guys, I don't think will. Kurt and Wally definitely won't play. And I don't think Jelly will play.
And how important is the final score here?
I don't want to say no importance because I'd rather win than lose, but next to no importance. I mean, if you gave me a choice, I'd rather win than lose. But no, if it's a close game, that'd be great, and we could work on some end game, whether it's the guys that'll be in or not. But just even for us, it'll be good just to call some timeouts, advance the ball, draw up a play, do anything like that, just to get practice at it, our staff with the players. But not in terms of if somebody's having a great game, we're not going to put them back in at the end, or the rotation will just happen again because of fatigue or because of the balance of the minutes. So if it happens that the last group blows the lead, we're not going to put the second last group back in to try and save it. But you play a game, you'd like to win for sure, but it's not that would be not a real priority.
The NFL coaches more game plan that third preseason game. Is there any of that goes on for you in the NBA? Like at a certain point during the preseason, do you begin to take a look at it from that standpoint?
Yeah, I think maybe I can't count after the second home game. I think that's five games in or something like that. We got three this week. We got Bakersfield. And two, I guess it'd be six. Probably like that week that we have the back-to-back. We got somebody at home, and then we go to Portland, and then we play Phoenix. I think by that week, we won't be. I don't think we'll be ready for game minutes and everything like that. But we'll be narrowing down or trying to put combinations together that are going to play against Denver and Phoenix. But I don't want to be not being negative. I'm going to be surprised if we settle. I won't be surprised if we settle on a rotation, but I'm going to be surprised if we settle on the correct rotation in the end of, if we did, we just got lucky. I don't think it's going to be that black and white to these are the guys that are playing, let's tighten it up and let's give these guys a lot of minutes. I just don't think we're going to be like that. Because I think we have, in a number of positions, we've got very, very similar ability guys, which is a good thing. But I don't see one guy getting away from somebody else. And the other thing is we have some guys we need to, we keep saying we have guys we got to look at. We got to make some decisions going forward, not just for this year, but you know, by the end of the year or by the middle of the year, Sam's got to be able to say, hey, who do we like, who don't we like? You know, I mean, right now he's looking at extensions and, you know, for those kind of reasons, we need to. So if we don't play guys, we ain't going to be able to give them, you know, a pretty good look, particularly with the young guys, the young bigs. I mean, Jeff and Kevin also, but I mean, especially with the three young bigs, we got to come to some kind of, you know, we'll start coming to some kind of conclusion with those guys.
What has been your assessment of Muhammad at first time?
I think he's really intriguing because he's just a mixed bag. He's so young to basketball, and from an experience standpoint and just from a year standpoint, I mean, his age and his playing experience, he's so young to that. And yet at the same time, when you look at his frame and the things he can do that you can't teach, you know, if you watch him during the practice, he'll make some plays that you're just really encouraged and enthused about, and he'll make some other plays you just go, how could he do that? But it's just that reason. He's very skilled. I mean, he has very, I don't say unique skills, but he's got some very special skills, which, you know, we got to figure out how to harness them and how to take care of them. And we just got to make sure that we're patient enough with him and realize he's on a different playing field than some other guys. So the more we can give him time and allow him to make mistakes, that'll enhance his, you know, his growth. But by the same time, sometimes it's hard to run drills and to play when he's in them because you're correcting a lot. So it's really a dilemma. But I'm more encouraged than discouraged by far by what I've seen. But you guys in recovery have definitely seen it before. He'll block a shot or get a rebound or run the floor, and you'll say, wow, that's unbelievable. And then we'll do something else at the other end and just say the same thing for a different reason. So, but he's young and he's big. And in addition to being young, he's young and inexperienced. I mean, relatively. I mean, usually by his age, you've played X amount of games that you've been playing. I mean, I'm talking CYO and all the other stuff. He's lacking in all of that. He kind of started at a late age. But, I mean, you can see what's there, and you want to make sure that, you know, we give it every chance to happen.
Is it best for him to go down to tell you that?
I think it's too early to say. It's too early to say. I think it'll depend on how far he can come in a short period of time. If he can't, and by that I mean if he can't get himself into the rotation, they'll reach a point where you would think, I don't want to back myself in the corner, I don't want to depress him. But if it gets to the point where he's here and he's been here for a while and he's not cracking a rotation, that's what the D-League's all about. You got to get out and get him some playing time. I know it's going to be important for him to get playing time, but I don't want to say that yet until he shows that he can't be in the rotation. He may be able to surprise and not get 25 minutes, but maybe he's, you know, he can be there for big defensive possessions, or maybe he can, you know, give us short spells where he does this and does that. So I think we got to give him the chance first to do that, to show that he can help us short term, I mean, in the next couple months. Failing that, then you got to start saying, wow, is he better served working with Brian and getting quality minutes and getting the playing experience that we keep saying he's lacking? He's going to be a tough call because of, you know, you can only sit and learn so much. Right now it's good because we can get him reps and he can play. We'll be able to play him in games now. But as we get into the year, if he's not getting those reps, even at practice, you know, I mean, all of a sudden we're going from two practices now to one. Mm-hmm. We're going to go from one to, you know, a lot of nuns or a lot of practices where we're worried about eight other guys hurting them, so we can't really scrimmage. So the practices become less meaningful for players, for guys trying to get the extra improvement. So that'll be a dilemma as we go forward. But I really do think there's a scenario where he can help now, and if that's the case, then, you know, you won't even end up talking about the D-League. But if he doesn't, yeah, I mean, the D-League's something. That's what the D-League's for, and particularly with Brian being in Idaho, you know, we feel good about that. He's a good coach. I mean, it's like, I'm sure everybody likes it. And we, you know, in San Antonio, it was an unfortunate situation, and now Quinn is there. But I mean, Brian worked with our team this summer. Brian was at training camp for a couple of days, and we were very comfortable with what he would, you know, the kind of coaching he would get if he were down there. So that's really always going to be tempting for us. I mean, sure, most of the guys in the D-League are good, but I got to think there's some guys that don't feel as good about their D-League coaches as we do about Brian. So that kind of, tempts you a little bit more because you feel comfortable about what he's going to get when he's down there.
Couple more for PJ again.
No, it's preseason, but feel any different at all being the head guy now in preparation?
Not yet. It'll probably feel a little different during the game, but it coming in and everything, no. I mean, practices obviously are different in terms of the lead-in time to them. I mean, I'm working harder than I worked when I was with Pop. Pop did all the work. So from that standpoint, it feels a little different. But I'm sure games will feel different, particularly in the beginning, because it wasn't a rarity. Pop would get thrown out every once in a while, but it was, it was funny when you go like 20 games between coaching. It's not the same. It's just, you get in a rhythm. So yeah, I mean, the more I'm looking forward for me just to coach the 8 games, to get used to, timeouts and subs, and thinking about, we were in San Antonio, I was thinking about more specific things. Like, we met with the coaches today for a long time just to talk about who's going to watch what during a game. So it's, when you're head coach, you try and, you can't watch everything, but you have different things in your head than you do when you're an assistant. But it's not brain surgery, and it's something that I did before. But the more you do it, the more, getting back into it, I hope I'll feel more comfortable, by the time we get to those 3 Portland, whoever the hell we played before Portland and Phoenix, those last 3 games.
So certainly a good dress rehearsal then for...
Yeah, I think for me more so probably than for most of the players, maybe for Kevin and Jeff a little bit. I think for some of our other guys, they've done this a million times and it'll be fine. But I think for us as a staff too, to work together will be good. Even to have the timeouts to come in at halftime tonight, talk about, what we saw, adjustments, and learning each other. I've worked with Paul before and I've worked with Brian. But for the other guys, it'll be new. So all that'll be, all that's fun. That's what's one good thing about the preseason. There's a lot of things you moan about. That's one thing that's good about the preseason.
All right, guys. Thank you. Locker room's open.
Thanks, PJ.
Hold on.